You have to have a vision of what you want your life to be like. And you have to dream. You have to have something that you really want to achieve. And that has to be different to your career. Like, of course your career can be fine and can be important to you, but you have to have something that you really want to do. At least get you closer in your life to that dream. Because what I find a lot is like people tend to be unhappy, or a lot of people I know tend to be unhappy because they dream of this point and they can tell you what the dream is, but they're doing the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And it is like, well, this makes no sense. You just said your dream is this. Why are you doing that? Oh, because I can't do it. Yes, you can. You just do it. So obviously I say, yes, you just do it, but it's more complex. But I think also between the big dreams, there can be little dreams. So you can have like mini kind of checkpoints in life that you know that even if you don't go through that path in a straight line, you can still kind of weave and get to those checkpoints. So you mentioned like you want children sometime. And again, it doesn't have to be a straight line. Like, oh, I meet someone, I marry, I have children. Like that. It doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah.
But often we set ourselves like all of these other things that we put in the way, and they don't let us see straight what our dream is and how to get there. So yeah, I think to be happy, you have to dream a little bit. You also have to... I was listening to this really good podcast, and it was, I can't remember the name right now, but it was about like how to be happy, and it was like from a scientific perspective. So it in that show, like the presenter talks to a lot of different people and they kind of explore different scientific hypotheses. And they go through things like, you know, if you for example, if you are content, say you earn $10 an hour and you're really happy, but now you realize like in the country you are, everyone earns $15 an hour and now you're unhappy. But just because you learned that, before you learned that, you were happy. So sometimes, you know, and this is only one example and it's super silly, but all it's saying is really it's in your mind and you have the power to switch your own perspective. And by switching that perspective, you can be happy. You won't be happy by having the $15. You know, like you were happy beforehand. So what changed? Just knowing that everyone else has more than you, you know? Favorite or A1 and commit to that thinking as well. Like you can also, I find that to commit, you, for me personally, if you feel like you have a way out, if you feel like you're not really committing, you're just committing for now, it's easier to commit because you don't feel in your mind you're tricking it. It's not permanent, it's okay, cool. It's like saying like, oh, we're still boyfriend and girlfriend, but actually we're married. The same as like, I'm not going to eat meat anymore. You know, I'm going to become a vegetarian. Oh my God, how do you give up meat? Well, you don't. You just give up meat for 1 week and then two. And you say, well, but if I want meat, I'll eat it. And the next time you see chicken, you're like, ah, maybe tomorrow. And then maybe in 2 years. And then after 5 years, you don't even like chicken anymore, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So if you give yourself... Obviously, it doesn't work if you're always going to be, oh, well, today I will eat meat. But if you kind of make that commitment without thinking it's going to be forever, then it's easier to swallow.
Hey, hello, look up again on the podcast. It's back. Yes, it's Malafico here. It's crazy, man. It's been a while to think that I started this project over 3 years ago until today. I still got listeners from around the world. I had to take a little break, a little hiatus, you know, be in tune with myself, traveling the world. Yes, I am still overseas. I've been making music, been getting really good at it. Yeah, figuring out this whole purpose of life, connection, me and God and the universe and all that sort of stuff. Speaking of that, today we have Katarina Reed, originally from Peru, a world traveler based in Brighton, UK. She speaks Japanese, Spanish, Italian, English. Only God knows how many more languages she'll learn throughout her lifetime, man. Yeah, I met Katarina in Brighton within the short period of time I was there. I found that she unknowingly gives out positive healing energy to the people she crossed paths with. And lucky enough, we got a chance to sit and have this conversation about life together. You know, we also talk about finding the right person and how do we follow our own purpose in life. All right, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the podcast. Thank you so much. Feels good to be back. Hey, if you're a fan of music, hit me up. I'll link you up with some beats, alright? Give peace a chance, Malefico is back. Have a good one. Stay safe. Don't forget to drink water. Stay hydrated. Be positive. Just so y'all know that I'm not getting paid for this podcast project. I'm just doing it out of love of having real meaningful conversation with inspiring souls. If you guys like the podcast, do let me know. And if you don't mind, share it on your Insta stories or something. Let your friends and family know. Who knows? You might be able to help other people stay inspired and have a positive perspective and outlook in life. I recorded this in November 26, 2020. So it has been quite a while. And I have a few more on my hard drive, marinating. Anything just waiting to be put out there. So if you guys are up for it, stay tuned. There's more podcasts coming. For now, enjoy my conversation with Katharina Reed, an inspiring soul indeed. This is Hello Hello Kopi Kamilo Podcast, and today we have Katharina Reed.
Hello.
Wow. How would you describe yourself?
I am a happy person, and I'm very adventurous and intuitive. I like doing things that feel right, you know, mm-hmm. like go with the flow.
Yeah.
And I always think if you kind of leave a little bit of room for adventure, then, you know,
yeah,
it's nice not to plan everything ahead. Growing up, I actually traveled a lot with my mum and dad. Mm. My mum really thought it was very important to get to know places far and wide, to visit like any place that we could go and visit and have like as many experiences as we could, because she thought it was very important as a person to get that perspective. Sadly, we didn't actually get to see much of Peru at that time because she thought, well, Peru will always be here.
Mm.
So I grew up with a lot of travel, and actually Peru is a country that has a lot of, it's multicultural because, you know, you had the Incas and the people from Peru, and then you had the Spanish coming over like in the 15th century. Mm. So then you kind of had the Spanish, and then you also had like African influences. Then in more recent years, we've had like Chinese, Japanese, Italian. So you have all of these people from different countries that came to Peru over the years. Mm. So everything in Peruvian identity is mixed, I would say. Well, there are areas that are very, very specific and they have very different traditions, but there are a lot of people who are a little bit Chinese, a little bit Italian, a little bit Peruvian and whatnot. But then I left Peru when I was 19, and I just decided to come to England and see what happened.
See, oh, wow. Yeah. It's not even, the plan A wasn't even to study.
No, the plan was, I actually was at university at that time. And after doing 2.5 years, I thought, oh, actually, I don't think I can do another 2.5 of this. I think it would be nice to go somewhere else. Mm. And I actually packed my backpack and I had a Euro trip planned, like a solo trip, which never happened. I came out here, I stayed with my auntie who lives in England. And then I just kind of started looking for work.
Mm.
And then, yeah, kind of met people and fell into like a job and kind of started living my European life. And that was the first time at 19 where I had actually lived away from my family home and away from my parents.
Mm.
And for the first time, I found myself in a place where it's a different culture. I don't really know anyone. I don't have any friends other than my cousins and my auntie and my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And I am 19, so I have to get a job.
Yeah.
So everything was new, and I like that. I like the feeling of everything is new. You don't know anything. You need to quick find your ground. What are you going to do? It's just like a rush, you know?
Yeah. From your upbringing, does it feel like a cultural shock coming to England? Was it like a really, really different apart from being independent?
So I think maybe two words to add to my own self-description, which is like weird and maybe a little bit sarcastic. And by weird, I just mean like a little bit different to what people normally are. So what I think then happened was I actually felt quite at home in England, because I thought people were quite, you know, accepting and open. And maybe that's just where I ended up, like in London, you know. But yeah, I found like people embrace bizarreness and yeah.
Yeah, but I also feel what I feel from you coming from your vibe is that you are naturally a positive person.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. For sure. I don't know if it's just being a bit hyperactive sometimes. I tend to approach things with a smile first. Although I have had a few people pass me on the street, like, you know, when I'm walking, because I just face down, don't pay attention. And they tell me like, oh, smile, darling. And I'm like, go away. But yeah, I'm a realistic person, and I can plan whole worlds in my mind. I don't necessarily pan out entire lives or decisions, how everything might pan out. But I do think like, what's the worst that could happen? And I think a lot of people think, oh, that's very pessimistic. And I think, well, no, because if you prepare for the worst and you're happy with the worst, with what the worst could be, then even if the worst happens, you'll be prepared and you'll be happy about it. You know? And also life is good, you know. I always think, gosh, it could be worse. Like, a lot of people have it worse. And even though we have had a lot of things happen in our family, like, Every family and every person has to go through so many things. You know, you have to keep a positive outlook. There's no happiness. Happiness is not out there for you to like try to chase. It's a state of mind. Yeah. Like, you just have to, obviously it's easier said than done, right? You just have to be happy. But no, it's, yes, you have to think about the positive things in life. It's within everyone to be happy, I think.
Yeah. Would you consider yourself a curious person?
Curious? Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely.
Is that the number one element that one person need to become intelligent? Because I think from my perspective, you are an intelligent person. Like, you are both creative and what's the other side of creative? Intellectual, both at once, fused up, and your level of focus is also intense, I feel, but also amazing.
You know? Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Is it because like you travel a lot at such a young age? Would that be the case, or is it innate personality? Different people has it different, and you are lucky enough to have these characteristics that make you who you are. You know.
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Because I always feel like we are what we are because of A, B, C, D, E.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, like, how do we create? I mean, not like a robot, not like a messy.
You're going to make a copy of.
Yeah, but you are a good specimen. You're a good example.
I will put that on my CV.
You're a good example of, like, the best case scenario.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I don't know. I don't see myself as that at all. But I think I am very curious, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I'm also very, I think I always, from when I was really young, I had issues with concentration. I wouldn't say I'm a focused person at all, even though I do have a certain, I mean, I know I have a vision for sure. I used to be in class, for example, and the teacher would be doing something and I would be doing something completely different. So if they were teaching English, I would be drawing, or if they were going through books and things like that, I would be like, sorry, if they were like, I don't know, whatever, like doing a lesson, I would be reading. And I would just find it boring, because maybe either I already knew and understood the content, not because I'm intelligent, just because maybe they're repeating it too much, or I understood it the first time, which doesn't mean that I can recall it. It's a different thing. But I just don't think that sitting down and listening to someone speak for 8 hours a day in school is like the best way. But I do think curiosity is really important in just, you know, you, even if you're not doing that, if you're not being curious about topics and things that you want to learn, like curiosity for people and asking questions and wondering about things, you know, I don't know. It's just fun.
What would be your greatest strength, you think? Like what is the most, I mean, not to brag, but from you being self-aware of yourself, what would be your strength right now?
My strength. Wow. Where did you pull these questions? This is very, very deep. My strength is that I'm really adaptable. I'm really adaptable. And that can be something really good for a lot of different situations. For example, when you move countries, or when you have a new job, or where things get stressful, or when you have periods of uncertainty, you don't have a lot of resilience for that. And a lot of, I actually like when things are not necessarily standard, or, you know, when you know what's happening, because you never know what's happening next, you know, or around you anyway. And I have a lot of tolerance, and even, I am just that adaptable. And that means that I don't necessarily react, I don't know if at all, but too much to situations that normally could be maybe stressful, or that block your head and don't let you think well. So I'm very stable in that sense. So yeah, it helps with decision making. The other thing is I'm very impulsive, and I take measured risks, but I do take, I can make decisions, like big decisions, very easily. Like, oh, you know, like let's move to England, or, you know, big decisions are sometimes, you know, when you have a feel for what's right or what feels right, then you don't have to really overthink it.
How many countries have you been to?
I just wonder,
do you count? I'm sure you do.
Well, no, that's the thing. So I've met so many people that have been to so many more countries than I have. I don't think that I've traveled that much, but
at least 45, I think.
At the same time, I've been very lucky.
Why do you think a person should go traveling? What's the purpose behind that?
I think if you stay in the same place, you can end up with this, you know, you tend to end up with people or surrounded by people who think the same as you, which is not a problem at all. But sometimes it helps to see other perspectives. This is just kind of like, I think, socially. In terms of cultures, like, there is so much out there to explore and learn about how different people did different things, or how different people do things differently right now. For me, like, food is a massive thing. So, like, travel to, like, taste the world is a nice thing. But I think just traveling broadens your horizons. You get to see what is out there and learn and respect other cultures. And out of that, hopefully, you grow as a person, and you broaden your thinking as well, your tolerance, your knowledge about cultures, and you make friends. You know, you make friends all around the world, which is lovely to have so many people that you can reach out to, and that you chat to, and you know, they're not the same. They're completely different to all of the people that you know back home, maybe.
What have you learned so far from traveling, like, from 19 to now? You're 32 years young. 32, right?
Yeah. 33.
What have you learned, like, the most important thing that you've learned from traveling a lot?
I think I've become more conscious about the environment and sustainability and all these things. And I realized that just going and visiting places, like, they're there like an exhibition in a museum. You're just going to turn up and experience it and then go. It's a very selfish way, I think, that I did things. Because that place I'm going to is a place in its own right. There's people living there. That's their everyday life, you know. You can't just turn up and do whatever you like and, you know, be loud on the beach at, like, whatever time, you know. There's people who live there. That's their community. So I think I've learned that you have to be mindful. You have to be respectful. And I like thinking that, you know, you can travel and be conscious to leave places, not make an impact, you know, not leave rubbish and all of these things. But yeah, just traveling more consciously and more mindfully, I think it's what I've learned. But then there's another side, which is, I think it was a year ago when I said to a friend, oh my God, I just love traveling. I could just be on the go all the time. And he said to me, you know what, I like traveling, but I love my home. And I really like that, because at one point I sat down and I thought, you know what, actually, it's really nice to have somewhere to go back to and just, you know, call home. Whether that's a permanent house or it's just, you know, somewhere, anywhere.
Mm.
Because you can sit down and reflect. You don't have to be on the go all the time. And you can ground and ground yourself and whatnot. There's a really nice saying that the Japanese have. And it goes, a rolling stone gathers no moss.
Mm.
And I really love it, because the first thing, maybe, I don't know if you do, but the first thing I thought about was, oh yeah, you know, you're always on the move so that you don't get like mossy, right?
Yeah.
But actually it's the opposite. It's like moss is a beautiful thing for Japanese people, but you can only get it if you stay there long enough. So it's not about always being on the move. It's about that person who can stay and endure and be patient will be rewarded with something beautiful. So I like that saying. It's just, you know, it reminds me that, yeah, why you travel? Are you escaping something, or are you going to, you know, just learn and experience something new, you know? And sometimes you do have to sit through uncomfortable times or... uncomfortable periods to learn something about yourself.
Which is interesting to me that I've come to self-reflect just with that lines, and now hearing you saying that again, it makes total sense. Some people travel to escape and some people travel to find, you know, to learn, like you put it.
Why did you leave home?
Maybe it's a bit of both, come to think of it, like a little bit of escapism, and I'm trying to seek for something, probably. Yeah, I wouldn't lie, there is a little bit element of escapism in it.
Do you remember what was going through your mind? Like, why you actually left? Because you say now in retrospect, I left to find, but what was happening the months or just years before you left?
Probably it's not just months, or probably it's the whole lifetime. My whole lifetime, I feel I struggle to fit in or feel accepted, and perhaps not feel jaded or mismatched or feel like a misfit, you know? And I find that traveling helps me find similar people who I can like sort of collect all these misfits and be friends with, and come back together in the future and be a bunch of misfits, I guess, and be happy with whatever that we have. Yeah, it's totally strange. I don't know if you can relate, because you escape quite early. I think 19 is an early age to escape, but if you get to like the routine of life at like in your mid-20s, for example, you will feel it. You will feel like everyone is either trapped or they're contented with what they have, and probably mostly feel trapped. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
I like this, that you've brought this up, because I don't know if this happens to you, but I think it's easy to feel trapped, because life often takes you down a road that you didn't quite feel like you chose yourself. So a lot of people can look at other people's lives. I do that all the time as well, and think, oh my God, how lovely. How did they get there? How did they make those choices, you know? And truth is, like, those choices are there to be made by anyone. Anyone can decide to go and leave. I think everyone has different fears. And obviously society in different cultures tells you that you need to be or do certain things. Otherwise, you're not successful, or you're not accepted, or you're not, you know, something's wrong with you. So, I think people, myself included, you know, tend to just go with the flow. And sometimes we don't check in to see if the flow was where we wanted to go in the first place.
you travel a lot, and then that is where you met your partner, your now husband. Mm. I remember the conversation that we had prior to the podcast, like probably a week or 2 weeks ago, regarding finding the right person and how do you know that they're the one?
Yeah. Right?
How do you know that he's the one?
You have to know what's not the one first to know what the one is, I think.
Yeah. But because if you think about it, we don't choose the people we've encountered, we cross paths with.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know, how do you not doubt, this is the first one that I met? And what if the fifth one is the one?
Okay, so maybe then let's just deconstruct the one. Because okay. I don't actually think that there's only one.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't mean that I have many husbands.
Okay.
What I mean is, I don't know if there's a one person that will fit you perfectly. And if they do, how boring. Because aren't you a person that changes all the time?
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Mm.
Don't we evolve? Don't we become different? So if I found the one, like when I was 15,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, that would totally not fit right now because I'm a completely different person. So I don't think there's one. There's one that you find a connection with and you can talk to and you feel good and you enjoy to do things together. So if you find that person and then obviously you've had some experiences about with other people where it actually didn't quite fit because this or that, then it's not a science, you have to again, this goes back to making big decisions and taking some risks. You just commit and then you take a risk, you feel like it's right, and then if it's not, it's a shame, but you make it work as well. So if something were to happen, knock on wood, but if, for example, I wasn't here anymore or he wasn't here anymore, it's not like that's it, there was only one. I'm sure everyone can find many people that they're going to get along and that they can,
because marriage makes it more complicated, and people also tend to stay in marriage just for the sake of identity and self-image from the public eye, I am aware that at some point we could change and grow together, but you might also divert and change in a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what, I'm not saying that you might go through this, but what if a person go through this, and how do we move forward, because you are sort of tied the knot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? That's true. I think you can grow apart, but you can also grow together. You can grow back together after you've grown apart too. If you and your partner start liking different things and not really sharing anything, not really communicating, and then just not finding joy in being with each other, I don't know. I mean, you have to find a professional if you want to make it work, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't want to find a professional or don't want to make it work, then it's not going to work.
Mm.
But I don't know. I mean, it could happen that you grow apart from someone. What you hopefully want to do is not want that to happen before it happens. So you do little things to try to prevent that.
Mm.
So things like taking walks together, having, if you, for example, my interests and my husband's are not the same.
Mm.
And my friends and my husband's are not the same necessarily. Of course, I love his friends and I am friends with his friends, but I have my friends. We don't do everything together and we don't necessarily go to all of the 100% of the time, 100% of the things together.
Mm.
So that leaves a lot of room for us to be individuals too. And I think if you don't like how the other individual is developing or they're just becoming something alien to you, I mean, that can happen and it's very valid. I believe marriage is, it's a commitment. You've promised someone.
Yeah.
In fact, you've promised someone have your stuff that you will love them forever.
Yeah, it's a big promise, isn't it?
But yeah.
It is a big promise.
Yeah. But you know.
It is a commitment too. It's like, wow, it's like, yeah. It just gives so much. That is why all these questions come in for me, because maybe the girlfriend boyfriend is in it. It's not so much of a burden, I feel. Because I think I have commitment issues, is what
Wait,
I have.
Wait, yes. Why, you just said the word burden with a girlfriend or boyfriend. Why so, burden?
Okay, what did I just say? No, less burden, I said.
Yes.
Less burden, that means less weight.
Yeah, weight. But why would you relate weight to a relationship?
To yeah. Yeah, because...
Why does your relationship have to weigh anything? Why can't it make you float? Yeah. Make you lighter?
If you put it that way, that makes sense.
No, is that speaking from experience? Like, have your relationships
been... No, it's because I'm more of a... I'm more of... I carry my own weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from my experience... I carry other people's weight when I'm with them a lot of times. Because somehow attract challenging relationship, you know what I mean? Maybe it's me coming from an Asian perspective that marriage is such a big deal and how do I find the one is so difficult and what if the fifth person is actually more like fits my shoe more than the first one that I meet. I'm trying to like, I'm gambling on it because technically love is a gamble, I feel. Because like, okay, think about it, right? Everyone is interesting. Everyone has their past life, a past story. Everyone has their, what is the word? It's not weight, it's not burden, but...
Baggage.
Everyone has a baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how do you know which baggage is right for you?
I might get this completely wrong, but there's like a poem or something by, I don't know if it's Edith Piaf or, I can't remember who wrote this. And I can't even remember the text, but it was something about a cherry tree or a tree that gave fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And you're spending so much time trying to look which of the fruits is the reddest and brightest and juiciest so that you can pick that one, that you ended up going from one to another, ended up picking nothing, and then they all rot and fall.
Shit.
So you have to make a choice. You can't just live life in fear that what if. That what if is unfortunately always going to be true. Like, maybe, yes, the fifth person was better, but if you make a decision, you can't look back and regret it. Regretting a decision is the least helpful thing in your life ever. Because if you've made a decision, you have to live with it. You have to live with it. So I think I understand the point of like, also, if I have to live with it, I have to make a really good decision. But you know, don't overthink it. Just like...
Yeah. Don't overthink it. Yeah. I mean, don't overthink makes sense to me. The concept makes sense, right? But with another person, that's another soul, that's a whole lifetime luck shift, you know? It's easier, it's so much easier to be alone. I understand some people, they don't get married or they don't, they end up being alone by choice.
Yeah.
Because of this. But I know that I don't want to be alone, but at the same time, how do people just... Because no one talks about this in my community. It is labeled as overthinking and take a chill pill, you know?
Yeah.
But I need to think about this because to me, it's a big deal. You know, before I want to buy the right shoe. I don't just want to buy the first shoe that I see in the store just because I find it attractive at first sight.
Wait, have you never done that?
No.
Really? That's a really interesting thing.
Because I always come back to the store and buy it the next time.
I overthink things too.
Okay.
And if it's an especially expensive item, I might do the same as you're saying. You go, you think about it. You know, if I really want it, I will come back for it.
Because I have this problem. Sorry to cut you off again. Yeah. I have this problem with choosing the right color. Like, I like colors, right? I like it so much. Like, I want all of them, but I can't have all of them. I tend to regret buying the first one, and I will go back and change the colors.
But can you think of a time, like really every time? Because I have the same. So I definitely identify with that feeling. I do that. In fact, I will spend too much time in any shop just because I'm just like thinking about it too much. But I have seen things that I go, oh my God, I'm getting them now. Like, literally, I love that. I'm getting it. I don't even need to think about it. I don't need to look at more colors. That, what I just saw, that's what I need. You've never had that?
I've had that, but I always regret it. I did that, but I always regret. I always not like a instant regret. Mm-hmm. It's subtle. It's like 3 days later, I was like, shit, should I cut the other one? Maybe it's an issue. Maybe it's a. I wish that there's a psychologist who could dissect this so
there
that
there is. You can actually talk to someone.
It is a maybe not regret. It's just like, man, I like that the other color more because I always take pictures, right? So I compare them. Mm. So that's not a good thing.
So wait, what would you say your instinct is though? Because when you pick places to travel, do you also analyze them like this?
No, not really.
Why?
Because I think the whole world is interesting. Whatever cards that I will be presented with in my travel will be interesting no matter what.
But you said earlier, all the colors, you like all the colors. All the colors are interesting too.
Yeah, but it doesn't apply to places because I don't have this FOMO of I'm not being able to go to Peru, for example, just because I don't go to Peru in 2020, you know? But the shoe, right? You know what I mean?
Yes.
The girlfriend. I don't mean to objectify, you know?
No, just as an I understand
example.
The analogy.
Yeah. Once you get that shoe, once you wear that shoe, you will. It's sort of a commitment. You paid for it, and what you liked, the other shoe that you sort of liked, will you can't. It's just greedy, you know. It's just greed that you want to get the other shoe too. It's impossible. Yeah, I don't know how to live with that. And at the same time, I don't want to be in that moment and think so much about this. This is just I bring this up because I realize you know something that I don't know. This is not a constant. I'll think about this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday about am I choosing the right person. But I know that you know, and you once upon a time decided and thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to get some advice, you know.
Yeah.
And perhaps the listeners are also going through the same thing.
I can't tell you because I only have my experience, so I can't tell you how it's done in the world, right? I can just tell you what my experience is. And I can tell you what I felt when I knew that Chris was the one. And it was like this. We started our relationship and it was really easygoing.
Mm.
It was unlike any relationship I had ever had.
Mm.
All my relationships previously were hard work. Mm. They were hard work. It was like, I don't know, misinterpretations or where are you or like just hard work. Mm. And like half of the time talking was actually arguing or it was just like not good. And so with Chris, it was not about a relationship at all. It was just about spending time with someone that you're like having fun, chatting, having a good time. When you're not together, it's not like you want to be together all the time. When you're not together, you're fine. You're like, you're yourself. And then when you're together, it's amazing too, you know? And it felt like a holiday romance because it's like one of those things where you feel like there's no commitment. You're on a holiday, you're enjoying yourself, and you can just, you know, chill and have a good time and forget about it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a holiday romance with him, but it was like that the whole time we were together, not just the first week or the first 2 weeks. And because I felt unlike anything I had felt before, I knew that I could commit. I think there was a point where he said, oh, you're gonna go traveling, because I met him and we dated for a little while, and then not even a few months later I was going off to China for months. And you know, he was really upset. Well, not really upset, but he was just like, oh,
affected,
you know,
by it,
he was like, yeah, obviously go, that's amazing, but I will really miss you and you might find someone else. And I kind of wanted to, I was like, well, no, I don't want to find someone else. And I think that's an attitude, that's a stand that you take at a certain point. You could go and find someone else. Like if I had gone to China with the mindset of, well, yeah, I'm not in a serious relationship, so I'm not committed, and I could find someone, then that's fine.
Mm.
You will find someone, I'm sure. Like in 3 months abroad, you can't meet people that you like and fall in love with.
Mm.
But if you go with a mentality of like, actually, I already found someone I really like that I will go back to, you don't go with that mentality.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just the feeling, and like anything I'd felt before, that feels really good. all the time, and then the commitment to make it stay like that. And that for me was the, you know, the thing that told me in my gut that it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I look at, for example, I don't know, anything that Pinterest or whatever, mm-hmm. right? There's so many choices out there. We're constantly bombarded with options, choices, and now we have more than we've ever had before. Mm-hmm. So choices, a friend told me that your mind, what you think about every single day, is about 80% the same stuff that you thought about yesterday. Like these thoughts that enter your mind, right. they're just swirling in there. It's the same stuff,
mm-hmm.
literally. And he said, if you can identify those thoughts and just forget, let them go, like mindfully, consciously identify them, like be aware that you're having them and let them go, you will save so much energy. And I feel like decisions are some of those things. Like decisions that you have to make every day, like choosing your clothes. I'm not particularly like fashion. I love it, but I'm not very good at it. So I just wear the same jeans and the same 3 jumpers every week, you know? It's easy. I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
So my CPU, my mind processing unit kind of thing, it doesn't get tired and I don't get fatigued by that decision. So I have more space to make other decisions. But I get like that with clothes. Tomorrow you're going to see me like in Topshop, like standing in front of a pair of jeans, like drooling because I can't make a decision. So I say that, but obviously. But yeah, I found that piece of insight really helpful because that helps me from the moment that this friend said that until now. It helped me be very conscious that actually, yes, a lot of us waste our time just thinking. Literally just thinking about stuff, and it's really not productive. And it's also, you don't do anything when you're thinking. You need to sometimes just get out and do stuff.
I guess there's no straight answer. Like it's just do it, and if it's not the one, it's not the one. If it's the one, it's the one. Is that?
Well, it sounds like you need to find your right time in your life for that. Because if you're not in a place to have a committed relationship, it doesn't matter who you find. You are not going to be ready, never mind the other person. But then if you really don't know, I would personally, and I'm an advocate of therapy.
Go to therapy?
Yes.
Wow.
And this is not, I don't know how this is seen in other cultures. I'm coming from a very neutral place where therapy is something completely accepted by everyone and not a taboo at all. It's not saying you're crazy or you can't deal with stuff. A therapist is just someone who's a professional that can guide you through your own mind. And your mind has areas that you don't even know about. You only know about yourself what you know. There's stuff that you know but you won't share or acknowledge. There's stuff that you don't know about but other people might perceive. And then there's stuff that you don't know and nobody knows. It's in your subconscious, you know? So going to a therapist is not really saying like, oh, you know, I need help because I'm failing at life. No, it's just, you know, going to someone that can help you go into your mind, accompanied, you know, into your own cave that it is your mind and start shedding some light in there to tell you, oh, look, this is the reason why you have this behavior. This is the reason why you're scared of that. And they help you go through exercises to get to know yourself better. And
it's like a therapy psychologist, same thing, right?
Psychotherapy, therapy, psychologist, even psychiatrist. I don't know, I actually don't know the difference, but just finding the person who's an expert at that, you know, maybe knowing yourself and relationships and things like that.
I think the fun part about life, in my opinion, is getting to know yourself. I think it's so fun, you know. I like asking these questions because it goes back to understanding life, which is understanding yourself, you know?
Yeah. And we often, I don't know if you find this when you listen to recordings, but you tend to repeat the same things. For example, when you ask me how I describe myself, maybe I just repeat the same words. What would happen if I picked another 3 words and I just repeated them about myself? Would I then believe that I am that person? Or would I become that person?
Yeah.
You only, you know, you have your preconceptions about who you are or who I am, And then you just keep...
So like a loop.
Yeah, it's a loop. You keep fulfilling. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It keeps happening because you think about it. So maybe if you think that you're not afraid of commitment, and then you start doing little things to test that, obviously not marrying people or getting...
Next thing you know, Milo's married.
To three people at the same time.
Most of the time, people don't talk about mental health, right?
Yeah.
Mindfulness. Think behind closed doors. Majority of the world are trying to escape their own life and their own mental. So how do you say one person can balance that, can fine tune themselves and their mental health? Or at least if to put it like to structure the question better, how do one person achieve mindfulness?
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like
I don't know about achieving mindfulness. But if you're talking about mental well-being, I think if you think about it, if you visualize that every person kind of has a lot of different batteries, okay? You need like a lot of different batteries in your body. Milo needs like 10 to function, right? One battery might be social interactions. The other one might be like healthy food or food that you like. The other one might be exercise. The other might be like learning. The other might be traveling, you know? And you think like that. And you think, you know, how empty can they go before you actually don't feel good mentally, you know?
Mm.
And try not to let them to get to that stage. So it's actually a balance of all the things that mean well-being or mental health, having good mental health to you, which might be different to me. How do you achieve mindfulness? I don't know. Only a few years ago, I was introduced into this, you know, like meditation, like mindfulness. We actually had a workshop at work because a lot of people were stressed. I worked in an advertising agency, and there's a lot of work happening, long hours and a lot of pressure. And we had a mindfulness coach who told us to, they took us through an exercise, like just sitting down, and it was incredible because we are all living people right now, but we don't really experience ourselves as that. We are often distracted by everything, and every second goes by and we didn't even pay notice that we are living right now. For example, feeling how our breath feels when it goes in. Can you feel it now? Is your nose cold?
Mm-hmm.
Or are your legs a little bit tired from sitting down? Mm. Or is your back feeling like the full pressure of the seat? And so if you're not in the moment and you're always like, your mind is always everywhere, I don't think you're being mindful. And if you're mindful, you're more in touch with what's happening right now and your inner self as well. And you tend to have a bit more control of what goes on in your mind as well. So you tend to be more resilient and to react better, or maybe not react to things. Mm. So you kind of want to achieve this stoicism. And I find it incredibly intriguing. I am not like, I don't meditate every day, even though I should. I got the app and everything. But yeah, I think everyone should try to be more mindful. I just don't know how you go about it, other than practicing it and sitting down and trying for a little while.
What you said about a battery, that is a good metaphor and a good analogy.
Yeah.
Everyone has to recharge and fulfill the batteries, fulfill the needs.
Yeah, and also because the batteries are not only what means that you have like good mental health or well-being, your well-being is in balance, it also means that you're more resilient. If those things are low, I think you can get really stressed and down and depressed, and those things just release more like cortisol, which is like, you know, actual chemical reactions in your body making you more stressed, and that is very unhealthy as well.
And
we often don't realize, like, unless you can write down the things that you think help you be more resilient, Because for some people, it might be like, I need to talk to my mom every day and be close to my family. For others, that could be like, I actually don't need that much of that, but I need to talk to strangers all the time. And for others, it might be, I need alone time. I need time for myself and to read a book or catch a film or something. So it looks different for everyone, but we often let those things go down until we don't even know anymore. And we don't even know how to get ourselves out of it. And then you have like mental breakdowns, or you don't even know that you have one. I think for men, it might be especially hard because of like the social constructs that you have to carry the weight of everything, like the family, and you have to be hard and you cannot cry. And I'm not saying that I believe those things, but it could be things that in men's subconscious, it is embedded in there, because maybe that's how mothers thought when they were, you know, raising their kids. So, and then that means that men can't really express maybe or find like the way out the same way as women do sometimes. So I think it's important to be aware of that as well and try to find, actively find some way to get yourself out of it. How's your mental health, Milo?
It needs recharge every now and then, and I'm at a good state right now.
What things recharge you?
Funny enough, talking to strangers. That's what you said. I'm like, what? Is this about me right now? Not so much talking to family, which is also what you said. Some people, like, for example, I have a sister, right? She has to report everything, like what food she had, like what she did today. Like, she, I find it strange how that gives her the level of happiness to, like, that is one of the batteries for her. I forgot what do you ask.
What are your batteries?
Traveling helps, because talking to strangers, talking in general helps me. I mean, not talking, but conversation. Because you can talk to anyone about mundane and surface level stuff, but that doesn't quite give me the satisfaction. It doesn't really charge me when we, let's just say we talk about football, how Arsenal won yesterday, right? I already know Arsenal won, you know? I saw the match. But we talk about that, it doesn't give me... So that's talking to me. Conversation is where it's new information and it's a two-way thing.
What do you go to when you find some free time? So just imagine that you find yourself, like, you've been really busy with some kind of work that you have to do, but it's not what you may have chosen. And then suddenly you have like 1 hour that you know is going to be free. What gets you thinking, oh, I know what I'm going to do?
Music. I will try to record something so that I have, but the thing is, it doesn't, if I have 1 hour, it will not be enough. It will lead me to another thing, with another thing. It's like a, I wouldn't want to stop. So the cheat code is to just get started, just tell myself that I have this as a start, and I will not stop. So yeah, music or video editing. It's not that I love video editing, it's just I record a lot of videos and I have a lot of materials to work with. But if I'm at home, I would like to talk to people. that's why this barista job sort of is a thing that I've kept over the years. It's because communication is upfront and always happens, whereas I could easily be a chef if I wanted to. It makes sense, food, and you know. But you're behind the scenes. You're just talking to your co-workers. You don't get a chance to talk to people. So that's why. So probably having a cafe makes sense to me at some point. You sort of differ from other people I interviewed because you asked me questions before I told you that I'm going to flip the script. You know what I mean? Thanks for the questions. Like,
even if you're grateful for what you have, you can't always think logically, oh, I have more than 99% of the people in wherever. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I should be happy. That's not how people think. And I was just trying to pull up my notes on like what I thought that night, because I wrote down like how to dream, and I had like my chapters. Oh, for example, so I don't know, obviously I wrote this when I was really tired at 2 a.m. but I have parts like chapters or parts that are like, you know, for example, some people, they might have injuries or things that have happened to them, so they're dreaming about better health. You know, and I had, for example, I broke my hand a few years ago and I destroyed it, like, and it's my left hand as well, I'm a lefty. And that destroyed me because I was like, I was doing yoga, I was lifting weights, I did like tennis. So it, for me, it was like massive work, writing, drawing. And I was like really upset. And that, at that point, it made me think and sit down and think like, 2 days ago, I had a perfectly good hand, but I didn't think about it. I was perfect. Like my whole body worked fine. And now I have an injury that in the end, it took me 2.5 years to heal, like multiple surgeries. But you don't think like that. You don't think I have a perfectly working body right now and let me do something with it. Often we think, oh, but this hurts, or I'm a bit, maybe a bit too skinny, or a bit too fat, or a bit too tall, or a bit too short. So again, shifting that perception, right? And thinking, well, I'm actually grateful that right now nothing hurts, hopefully. And it could happen anytime. And that could sound really pessimistic, but that's how things happen, isn't it? Like you go to a hospital appointment and suddenly they found something that you have and have had and you didn't know that you had. Or you develop a condition or something, and that happens all the time. And it could happen to us too, you know? So I think being grateful for what you have right now is really important, and just remembering. And, you know, like looking at yourself and being like, my God, I am perfect. I have everything that I need to have. And then there's things like dreaming about life, you know, like dream big. It doesn't matter if it's realistic or it's not realistic, because your dreams are just yours and they can be anything that you want. And I think if you dream something up, you have to stick with it for a while, even if it's unrealistic, because if you change too much, again, like, you don't really have a fixed north to point towards. And anything can be a dream. If you stick with it, it will tell you where your heart really is, where your happiness really is. And then you let the flow take you and don't try to control the dream too much. Obviously, you can go with the flow. And then some people dream with a family and they find it really hard, right? Because there's all of these things that could be happening. Maybe you actually don't have a partner, or maybe you have issues to conceive and things like that. So sometimes dreams shift, like what you envisaged doesn't necessarily have to become a reality the way that you thought it would. It can become a reality a different way. So I think your dreams can be what you're pointing to, but how you get to those, you can be flexible. If you stick with one idea of how to get there, I think it will make you unhappy, because you cannot control life. You cannot control anything. You can only control yourself, in fact. And not even that, because your body functions and your how healthy you are. Yes, some things you have an influence, but some things are just genetic. So you release, you let go, and you let go of some of that, and you kind of leave it up to like the universe, if you will. But that doesn't mean that you have to give up on your dream, you know? And that's only like one example, because it's soul crushing, I think, like not being able, something that you want so much, not being able to have it the way that you always grew up thinking that you would. So I think that's a really, really kind of like difficult point, but it can help to think, hey, there's more ways to go about this. But yeah, I think people can be happy just kind of dreaming, and dreaming gives you a sense of purpose. It makes you get out and try new things.
First of all, I want to thank you for being part of the podcast, and I appreciate your presence and getting to know you. And this is the last question. If you were to ask yourself, like, what kind of advice will you give to your unborn children 20 years from now, who's listening to this, and probably, hopefully, not the only audio recorded of you giving advice, but this is specifically for them. They are probably in their 20s, and they are probably going through what I went through, what I'm going through right now. Mm-hmm. All these questions, all this curiosity, all this doubt, who is the one, or anything that typical 20-somethings going through, you know?
Yeah.
What were your final, maybe not final.
My final words before the asteroid hits the Earth.
Sounds so morbid, right? But one of the advice or lesson that you want to share with them,
yeah,
so that they remember and listen to.
I just think I would say to get things right, you have to get things wrong first. So just live life and don't be scared to make mistakes and fail. And even when you have done all of that, what is the right thing anyway, right? Just enjoy everything you're doing. And if you're not enjoying it, then don't do it. Yeah. And actually, I wanted to thank you because this is probably the most interesting thing I've done all year. Chatting to you is always, I don't know, more than interesting. It's just like really insightful and just like, I don't know, I really enjoy your company too. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Really, and I felt that there's a bigger reason for this conversation to happen, you know.
Mm.
I have summoned like a crazy space with these mics and all that. Like, I don't know, like, this conversation will mean a lot more looking back.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to yourself in the future, and you realize I will be learning a lot from this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Just for your information, if there's not anyone else learning from it, right? And I feel that you are right about describing yourself. You are highly adaptable. You are compassionate, and you have this therapist vibe. You have good healing energy. You know
Stop
what I mean?
It.
I think you should consider, since you are adaptable and can do anything you want, try to get like a therapy certificate or something like that, because you can thrive in it.
Oh,
or maybe
you
just volunteer doing that, just to help people with their mind, with their mental health or something in those lines.
Because
you have that energy. And speaking of purpose, maybe that could be one of your purpose, one of those batteries that would help lift your soul up.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Milo. I learned a lot about myself too, so.
Yeah, sometimes, like you said as well, you said this, you said a lot of things. But you said, like, people can see what you can't see about yourself. Sometimes you miss some pieces of yourself that's hidden that you don't know of. Yeah. So I think you can ask Chris, he would agree. You have that healing energy.
Hello, Kopi Kamilo podcast. Milo Fico, signing out.